We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Hickey's surviving on a Monday. I'm surviving on a Monday as well. I'm surprised we're both still here because the Colts, historically bad, they blow a 33-0 lead against the Vikings and then my football team. It may be one of the dumbest plays for what has now been a stupid Patriots team this year that you'll ever see, with Ramondre Stevenson as they're on the verge of going to overtime, lateraling it to Jacoby Myers, and Jacoby Myers throwing it like 15, 20 yards behind him, intended to Mac Jones. I still don't know what Mac was going to do with the football, and Chandler Jones catches it, steamrolls Mac Jones, and then runs right into the end zone 40, 50 yards out for the Raiders to go win. That's the part to me, Hickey, that still probably annoys me the most. Forget the fact that it was just a stupid play. What is Mac Jones going to do if he catches the football in that spot? So that, I know it's a game of hot potato when you're talking about Jacoby Myers and he catches the football, but when you're throwing it and you said you didn't see Chandler Jones and you're throwing it to Mac Jones, what did Jacoby Myers expect Mac Jones to do with the football there?
I guess have a convoy of blockers and run 50 yards down the other sideline and get in the end zone?
You think your quarterback's going to be able to run 50 yards against, I know the Raiders defense is good, but against any defense, Mac Jones is not Lamar Jackson when it comes to speed.
I mean, I would agree with that. I would 100% agree with that. I'm not even sure if Lamar, maybe Lamar, outside of him, no one's running that in that instance, running for a touchdown. So I don't know what Jacoby was thinking, but
he wasn't.
Also, maybe throw Hail Mary, but
You're exactly right. Throw a Hail Mary in that spot. Hey, Mac Jones could throw a football six ball. Maybe he can't. He says he can. And we've seen him before do so in Hail Mary situations. But they don't trust him to throw the ball deep down the field. They don't trust him to throw the football deep down the field at all. And in that spot, I don't get why you wouldn't just chuck it up or just take a knee and go into overtime. It's, the whole thing was stupid.
If you throw a Hail Mary, three things happen, two of them are positive. Number one, you catch it, touchdown, game over. Number two, flag, pass interference, you get untimed down, field goal, win the game. Three, it's knocked down, you go in overtime.
Or even if they intercept it, the odds of them running it back 99, 100 yards, even if he doesn't get it to the end zone, 95 yards are slim to none.
Right. You got plenty of receivers on the field. Should be able to track down whoever caught the ball. It's full, in theory, foolproof, but also so is handing the ball off. Basically, waving the white flag on the regulation is also foolproof. And as you know,
well,
not every time.
Do you think Bill could have, well, yeah, no, Bill definitely could have overturned it and said to Patricia, no, throw a Hail Mary there. But he didn't elect to do that.
Oh yeah, but, I mean, as you know, Bill does whatever he wants. If he wants Hail Mary, he's getting the Hail Mary.
I get that, but you know Patricia's the one that is calling the plays. It's just stupid. The whole thing's dumb.
Just throwing it, like, what's the negative or downside, like, of throwing a Hail Mary?
I don't know. I honestly think Matt Patricia hates Mac Jones. Because I know the offensive line's not good, but if I have to watch another screen pass this season, and like 15 screen passes, and there were fewer screen passes in this game early on, I'll just not watch.
I mean,
oh, I didn't even tell you this.
13 completions in a game when you were trailing the whole game is tough to do.
I told you about my uncle, who is
diehard Patriots fan.
Yeah, would go to games, and he has seen them. I know everyone thinks all they do is win now, but he has seen them lose in almost every way possible. He was going to games where they could have four tickets, and they had season tickets, and they could bring 15 people into the stadium with them, and no one would even care. Because that is how much there was just no fan base, and just no one even was proud to be a Patriot fan. So my uncle is very old school, and he very rarely texts. He's more of a, you got to call me, I don't believe in texting. He knew I was on the air yesterday. He texted me. His exact text at 7:34 p.m. Eastern. And this is how I knew he was mad that he was texting me about the game. I never have seen anything so stupid. That's all he wrote to me. So I did 11 hours of radio yesterday. I didn't want to call him right after the game because I wanted to go home. I wanted to eat, and I just wanted to just be miserable by myself. And I wanted to watch the Sunday night game too. I called him today. He was furious with Belichick. Furious. And he goes, this team is just, he said what I said, is just so stupid. And then right as I was about to say, it was very jet-like, he goes, that was jet-like. He goes, and he's talking about this, if he was a Jet fan, he goes, that what happened yesterday puts the butt fumble to shame. That is the way that my uncle, and we were both at the butt fumble game together and we loved it. That is the way that he looked at that game, because he goes, that was, in his opinion, the dumbest play he's ever seen.
It's fair characterization. I agree. Yeah, you're right. Butt fumble is embarrassing, but it's also just wrong place, wrong time. I mean, that's just inexcusable.
And I know where my uncle was going in the conversation. He goes, in Bill we trust, but I'm starting to lose trust in Bill. That was his words. He goes, everything they've done this year has just been stupid. So my uncle, who is a very proud man, he sounded demoralized, dejected, defeated today. And then after we had a conversation 5 minutes, he's like, all right, I got to get back to work. I'm tired of this team.
This is going to be an interesting three games. What if they fall off?
You mean lose all three?
What if they lose all three, continue to play the sloppy, stupid, if you want to call it, brand of football they've been playing for most of this year?
They probably will lose all three. But unless that Bills game means, like, are they going to beat the Bengals this week?
No.
Are they going to beat the Dolphins the following week? Like, maybe. I would probably say no.
In Miami, right? The Heat?
No, that game's in Foxborough. They played Miami earlier in the year.
Okay.
First week of the season. Or first or second week of the season.
First game of the year.
And then they play Buffalo. The only way that they win that game is if the game means nothing to Buffalo. I could see them losing out. I do believe, and I think Ross Tucker put it the best way when he joined this earlier. I don't think Bill's going to get fired. Nor should. Here's the obvious statement. Nor should Bill Belichick get fired. But there will be a different tone conversation that Bill Belichick has ever had with Robert Kraft. Because if Robert Kraft is the owner that we love him for as Patriot fans, and he has control of that team, even though he gave a lot of the control to Bill and Brady when they were there, but Robert Kraft this offseason doesn't have to say fire Matt Patricia, but he needs to make it clear to Bill, and Bill should know this already, you would think. Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time, would know to do this. But he has to make it clear. Bill, Matt can't be calling the plays. We have to go get an offensive coordinator that actually has experience calling the plays. And I just wonder, Hickey, you know how Belichick is. It's my way or the highway. Now, he has a great relationship with Robert Kraft. We know how loyal Belichick is to Robert Kraft. I had someone tell me 6-7 years ago that until Jonathan takes over the team, Bill will stay there until that is handed over. Not that Bill's a bad relationship with Jonathan, but then he felt like he was needed to be loyal to Robert because he gave him that other opportunity, and he really wanted him when he was with the Jets, and how that all story did go down, and he traded what he did to go get him, and look how it worked. But I just wonder, with how great Bill is, if Bill gets told what to do with his staff, I just wonder how Bill's going to take that. Especially when he, for some reason, has this close relationship with Matt Patricia. And you know, not that Matt needs to get fired, but he can't be calling the plays next year. And that, to me, if that conversation does happen, I would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Maybe we'll get Seth Wickersham to be scurrying around in Kraft's office and see if he will give us any information on how that conversation goes down, if that conversation happens.
Maybe if it doesn't go well, maybe that's why Florio's talking about a possible trade of Bill Belichick. If he wants to continue coaching, you're not going to fire Bill.
No. Bill's going to be the coach of the team next year. Because I even think Kraft will know, even if he tells him to do something, he doesn't do it, and it could put a big dent in their relationship. I don't think he would make the hasty decision to just say, okay, we're going to fire or trade him.
Do you remember in the offseason, I believe it was at the owners' meetings, I could be wrong, when Robert Kraft was talking and he was saying that basically there's a lot of pressure on Bill come draft time. He was kind of saying, like, you know, he's made, you know, we made some decisions. Maybe it's, you know,
yeah, the
Bill's
drafting
gotta...
has been great. Now, the irony is the last 2 years, you know, Bill has done a good job in the draft.
Well, we can talk about this team and this the way the offense is built.
Last year,
strictly.
The draft was good with Ramondre Stevenson, with Christian Barmore, with Mac Jones. I thought they had a good draft. This year, you could question the drafting.
And Mac Jones, I mean, does Bill like Mac Jones? I have no idea. He hired a coach who doesn't like Mac Jones. And like you mentioned, it seems like they don't trust Mac Jones for whatever reason.
Mac did make the playoffs last year.
So if you're Robert Kraft, and there's already a little bit of an onus put on Bill Belichick to kind of basically say, and put all this money, you know, to start, you know, hitting in the draft again, and you're not doing that, and now you have a season where you're not going to make the playoffs after you went 10-7 last year, I just wonder.
But,
I
don't think and Robert said it's unacceptable gone, but, with how, and I know these are Robert, how long it's been since they won a playoff game. Robert has said that's unacceptable.
Now, I respect the hell out of that.
There's a lot of teams that will say, Robert, shut up. You don't know what it's actually like to go through losing as in order the way other teams
do. But I give him credit. That's how you prevent going into a spiral of complacency. And then
So what's your question here with bringing this up?
I know. I just wonder, like you said, hasty. I don't know if it would, like, I wouldn't say hasty. I don't know, the day by day goes.
Well,
do
you think he would go to Bill this offseason and say you have to hire a traditional GM and give up the GM powers?
If I'm Robert Kraft, I think that's my first order of business.
Because then I think Bill will walk if that's the case.
I think he needs a GM. I think the one area you can get on Bill, well, there's a few areas, I would say, because the player discipline this year has been sloppy. They've been poorly coached. I think the one area you can absolutely get on Bill for is player selection. What do you even say about Mac Jones? He has no one around him.
Recently.
And no one around him because Bill's the one picking the players. Tom Brady left in part because of the team around him was terrible. Now, again, you want to say you went all in for a Super Bowl and you got it? Okay, fair. Yeah. The reality is the roster stunk when he left in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
It's not gotten really much better. And it's like, after how long are you going to go and continue to say, how long are you going to trust Bill to try to get talent around a young quarterback before you say, this ain't working. It's a definition of insanity. You tried the draft, didn't work. You tried free agency, that big free agency splurge with a bunch of marginal players, it's not working. Something, you know, something's got to give.
And you kind of have an easy out of you, Bill, where you could still have a lot of that control, but give Kraft that wish. John Robinson now becoming available. Like, if Robinson comes back to the Patriot organization, which was there for a long time, yes, he entitled would be the GM, and you could make that entitled, but you know Bill's still going to get his way because that was one of his guys. So I wonder if Bill will say, okay, I'll give you what you want, but it's got to be John Robinson. It's got to be someone that he trusts. You're not just going to bring someone random off the street that has no ties to Belichick.
No, I agree. I think you have
just because of also the clout that Bill has.
Have trust, right, in order that Bill's deserve, but also, too, they have to work together. Like, you don't want to hire someone that they clash, and all of a sudden you're fighting. And
Robinson has worked together before. It's okay, we'll give you the GM title, but you know how this works.
Clearly, John Robinson has a good eye for offensive talent. He has a worse eye for keeping it, but hey, if you can get him in the building.
Hey, you get me A.J. Brown, I'll be doing that.
Robert Kraft, maybe Bill Belichick could convince him. Maybe let's not trade this guy. Let's pay him, but.
You know what I'm thinking is maybe more and more a possibility? Or I think they'll try it. I don't know if Brady would do it. But when you start to lose your way, maybe they go back to the X. Maybe Robert Kraft goes, Tommy, we need you. We need you back. I treated you like a son. You're like a son to me. You are my son. Maybe Brady walks back through that door. I'm just wondering.
But
they have $100 million in cap space.
If you're Brady, why? And if you're even the Patriots, like, why? You win a Super Bowl next year with Tom Brady? No.
You got a better chance than with this approach right now. If you have $100 million, let me ask you this. I'm just saying this. You have $100 million, and let's say you get the people. Brady says, I'll come back, but you got to get me X, Y, and Z. And I know it doesn't really work this way, but you get X, Y, and Z. I'm not thinking that they're definitely going to win a Super Bowl, but you're telling me if Brady doesn't go back to New England, they won't at least be in that contending conversation?
The Patriots spent a record of free agency for guaranteed money 2 years ago.
Yes.
Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith.
But you didn't have Tom Brady.
Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar. Is he winning a Super Bowl with these guys?
No.
At this age? No, he's not.
But that's the thing. You'd be bringing in new players.
I don't trust Bill Belichick to get good skill talent. Who knows how Tom Brady's going to play this offensive line. I don't see either side working out.
Once again, I do not think it's going to happen because I don't think Brady would come back. But my statement was, I do think the Patriots will try to make it happen this offseason. Because even though I think they should trust Mac Jones, they have not trusted Mac Jones. They haven't. And it's almost just been to the definition of insanity with their approach this year. So even though I would like to see them get Mac some talent so we could actually evaluate him, like what has transpired with Jalen Hurts, what has transpired with Tua Tagovailoa, even to some extent years ago with Josh Allen, I don't think it's just coincidence when they got star players to throw the football to and they got big-time receivers. We've seen all those quarterbacks play their best football. That's what I like to see happen. But for whatever the reasons are, they're just making it look like they hate Mac Jones. Isn't that the only way to kind of interpret it? They look like they don't like Mac Jones, which I don't get why with what he did last year.
Well, I wonder if it's also just Bill just not coming around to like dealing or knowing how to deal with life without an all-time great quarterback and Tom Brady. Like, you could have ignored...
In terms of it's the same approach where you had, like, in 2006, you went with Rishay Caldwell and Doug Gabriel at wide receiver.
Right, and then
you
when
you can't
not
do that
Tom
with a young
Brady.
Quarterback that right. isn't. I know Brady wasn't the greatest of all time yet, but at that time he won 3 Super Bowls in this league.
And it's just like, oh, we did it with Tom Brady, who again was unheralded, and you figured it out. And like, yeah. You can get just spare parts, and Tom Brady made everyone else's kind of, you know, high tide rise all boats. And it's like, oh, Mac Jones will do the same thing. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And now
you
Bill's
have
like
to go
still,
get a number one wide receiver.
Like,
Jacoby Myers can't be your number one wide receiver.
That's why I feel like he's almost frustrated, where he doesn't understand, like, that's not how, not everyone is going to be Tom Brady. That's not how every situation, that's how most situations work. And it's like still on the, slow on the come around.
Yeah, I'm just going to be honest. I think Matt Patricia's an a-hole. Like, there's no, that guy. Just,
well, that's also, I think, part of it.
The stench around Patricia just bugs me.
Like, you could have put anyone at OC when Tom Brady was there. You could put anyone at receiver, anyone on the line. It would have worked.
And Mac Jones knows a thing or two about being around good coaching. He was with Belichick last year. He was with McDaniels, an offensive coordinator, last year. Nick Saban. I think he wants a tough style of coaching. But if I'm Mac Jones, I don't respect Matt Patricia. But what are you going to tell me about playing quarterback? You're a slob defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and that's, I think, it's part of Bill's blindness, where he's just like, oh, yeah, I'll put anyone there, and still not realizing that's not how it works.
Yeah, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Man, I wish the Patriots would have won yesterday. This would have been a lot more fun, where I could have just ripped you apart. Instead, it's me taking the brunt of this today.
Like I said, I think yesterday kind of opens your eyes about the true state of the Patriots. I know you are saying...
I've been the most fair... I told you this team was going 8-9 before the start of the year and missing the playoffs.
I'm not saying you are delusional. I think yesterday just serves as a reminder, like, Patriots are kind of crashing down to the middle pretty fast here and going closer to the bottom than the top. Going the wrong direction.
Yeah, no crap. But they... In a win... See, this is the most frustrating part. They have 7 wins. With a bottom 5 roster, pretty much a very similar roster that last year, they had 10 wins. So as much as what Belichick is doing is frustrating, and they've had stupid coaching this year, there has to be some good coaching there. Because they do have 7 wins now. I think playing Zach Wilson twice does help.
Browns, like, it wasn't exactly the hardest schedule.
The Lions, we didn't know what the Lions were going to be.
But stuck in the middle, that's why they say it's the worst spot to be.
Yeah.
Absolute worst spot to be. Yeah,
that's what I tried to tell you for all those years about your team, and you weren't willing to listen to me.
Well, they're in the playoff push, playoff race, and now they're embracing the tank.
The Colts in the last few years never had a shot to win a Super Bowl.
Neither did the Patriots, and now they should be tanking too. And it's too late.
I agree. What did I say after the Bears game? I put out a video, and I said, I hope they lose as many games as possible so they can get Mac Jones a weapon for next year at wide receiver. That was the video I put out. On the record. All right, we'll take a timeout. 5 questions, 5 answers next. Onsides, offsides. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, Hot Take Hickey, what do you got for me today?
Zach, the Eagles got a scare. Today's NFL Network reported that Jalen Hurts suffered a sprained right shoulder during Sunday's win over the Bears. Now, the third-year quarterback took a massive hit from Travis Gibson and stayed down for a second before popping up and finishing the game. Hurts' status for Saturday is in doubt, meaning that Gardner Minshew would be in line to start for Philly against the Cowboys. Minshew mania could be back in prime time nonetheless. Or not primetime, but you know the game everyone will be watching there at 4:25 Eastern.
One of the marquee games.
Thank you. Marquee game for sure. Marquee Minshew. Onsides or offsides, Zach? The Eagles should sit Jalen Hurts for at least 2 regular season games.
Oh, they're going to be the number one overall seed, and they have such a good team that I think they could find the way to win one more game so they get the number one overall seed without Jalen Hurts. So you play the Cowboys this week. You have a sprain. Right throwing shoulder. I don't think he's playing this week. I think it will be Gardner Minshew. Then week after that, you play the Saints. The Saints are pretty much playing a backup quarterback to begin with when you look at Andy Dalton at this stage of his career. And that game is at the link. So, yeah, I would say if he's not healthy, then, yeah, you don't play him for the next 2 games because that's the luxury that you have of only having 1 loss on the season. So, I will go on sides that the Eagles should sit Jalen Hurts for at least 2 games.
Would you sit him the rest of the year? It'd be a month by the time they played the divisional round.
Because you also have the bye factored in.
I think they said divisional round weekend is January 20th and 21st. Yeah. That's the only thing that scares me.
Concerns me with the roster.
But a month off and then having a playoff game is a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it kind of stinks that this happened, too, because he's having an MVP type of season. And with the Micah Parsons comments last week, there was a lot of buzz for many reasons around this game, but a lot of ways that I look at it, that was like, okay, that really did get me a little extra excited for this game.
What if Minshew throws like 300 yards, 3 touchdowns? Parsons would be sitting back there. I was right. System.
Tough to say it in that spot if you get torched like that.
That's also true. Hey, we lost, but I was right.
That will be an emotional game, though, if Minshew is starting, because remember, he's going to be thrown into the spotlight. His connection with Mike Leach, I think that could be a really emotional moment for Gardner Minshew.
Going back to week 15, we saw 2 just unbelievable finishes. The Colts raced out to a
33. Yeah, you could say that, unbelievable. It was a game with what happened to the Patriots. I want to take a knife and just stab my eyes out. And you could say the same thing about your football team up 33-0 and just choking.
33-0
The pathetic Patriots and the choking Colts. That's what our football teams have now become.
That is for sure.
We're
Minnesota.
A long ways away. From 2004, when those teams, I'll go with 4. We don't need to go with those 6. But anyway, you get the point. The early 2000s, mid-2000s, we are a long ways away from the dominance of both those teams.
Yeah, that Brady-Manning rivalry for Indian and
Big brother, little brother. It was great.
Really died and died fast, that's for sure, because Minnesota.
Hold on. Died fast for you. The Patriots, they just won a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53. That is not that long ago.
Manning with the rivalry. That's what I said.
Just looking at the
rivalry
longevity.
Died. And like I said, these two teams are nowhere near what we saw about 15 years ago in Parks. We saw the Colts, again, up 33-0, scored the highest point total of the season. Didn't matter because Minnesota went on a 39-3 second half run.
What is this, basketball?
To win the game. That's what it felt like, watching this offense go up and down the field. Like
Pacers, Timberwolves?
Holy cow. It was the largest comeback in NFL history. Congratulations to the Oilers, who are now off the hook. And on Sunday, somehow, if that was unbelievable, this was even maybe almost even more unbelievable, Patriots Raiders were going to go to overtime. Jacoby Myers tried to be a hero, as
moron,
in his words, lateral the ball back to Mac Jones about 50 yards of room, and instead the lateral, which is a good throw, intercepted by Chandler Jones. He took it to the house 48 yards for what was the eventual game.
If it was a good throw, it would have hit Mac Jones in the hands.
Tight spiral. And that's about 5 yards too short, too.
And what the heck was Mac Jones going to do with that ball if he gets it?
I think all the offensive linemen would have
flattened,
walled up, gave like a punt return down the left side, and he would have ran it in for sure with that 4-3 speed he has.
Yeah.
So once that's off side, Zach.
Such a jackass today.
The Colts blowing a 33-0 lead in the second half is more embarrassing than the Patriots losing on what was a botched lateral.
It's offsides, and here's why. The Colts season was over, even though I didn't think the Patriots were going to be a playoff team entering the season. They still had their playoff hopes alive. I know they're not mathematically eliminated, but after losing that game, you really feel like the season's over. So that's why I go with the Patriots.
The AFC South. Well, it's becoming a lot more interesting now down the stretch here as the Jaguars beat the Cowboys in overtime. They move to 6-8 on the year.
Don't be Trevor laughing. Lawrence. You would love to be 6-8 and be in the playoff.
No,
push.
I would not want to be 6-8. That's right. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, you're telling me.
I will tell you that right now.
You're telling me if the Colts had an opportunity to make the playoffs, you wouldn't be embracing it? You thought this team was still good like 5 weeks ago. Stop. Stop.
I like.
You're lying.
I'll say this. No, I'll say this right now.
Liar.
I would not trade places with the Jaguars. I like what
the Colts
are at.
Yeah, you would. You have Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I mean,
and a good coach.
Record-wise. Sure, I'll take Trevor Lawrence. I'll take Doug Peterson. But record-wise, I would not trade right now with could be a top five pick after tonight.
You would. You'd be all jacked up today. Oh, here they come, the Colts. Here they come.
Reason to be jacked up if you're a Jaguars fan. Trevor Lawrence threw 4 touchdowns, and they are now inching closer to the Titans, who lost their 4th straight game. Cameron Dicker for the Chargers kicked the go-ahead field goal just 4 seconds left. Titans lose 17-14. Don't look now. Jacksonville just a game behind Tennessee. 3 games to go. Right now, the Jaguars own the tiebreaker over the Titans. They beat them early in the year. Week 18 in Jacksonville. Titans at Jaguars. Onside or offside, Zach? The Jaguars will win the AFC South.
We talked about how possible this is. And I really want to take the Jaguars and really say that they're going to make the playoffs. But I'm still just going to give, by the slimmest of margins, like 51-49, I'm going to give this slight edge still to Tennessee. So I'll go offside.
Offside.
But I really want to go Jaguars.
Let's go from one great division in the AFC South to an even better one in the NFC South, because that is really turning into a battle of
the worst division I've ever seen.
Who does not want to win this division? The Bucs, if you include a botched fake punt, turn the ball over 5 straight possessions in the second half, as Tom Brady's team blew their first 17-point lead of his career. They were up 17-0, end up losing to the Bengals 34-23. Tampa Bay is now 6-8 on the season. The Panthers had a chance to move into a tie for first place with the Buccaneers, but they lost to Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers. They are now 5-9. So you have the Bucs right now atop the NFC South at 6-8. Panthers, Falcons, Saints, all 1 game back, all sitting at 5-9. No one's eliminated. This is unbelievable.
It's amazing. This division's awful.
Onsides or offsides? Here's a tough one. The Buccaneers will win the NFC South.
Ugh. I don't even want to see any of these teams in the playoffs. But the Panthers quarterback is Sam Darnold. And I said yesterday, even going up against Mitch Trubisky, that there is no way Sam Darnold should ever be a favorite in the National Football League. So I took the 3 points with the Steelers. Thank you very much. The Falcons now have Desmond Ridder, who we don't know what he could be. And the Saints are still rolling with Andy Dalton and Taysom Hill. And then the Bucs have Tom Brady. Now, this Bucs offensive line stinks. Mike Evans and Brady forgot that they used to have chemistry together. And the Bucs defense has been horrible. And Todd Bowles, he's showing why a lot of people are critical of him when he was the coach of the Jets. Tremendous defensive coordinator, just not a good head coach. Because they have Brady, I'll say that the Bucs win this division.
For how bad Dennis Allen is, has a shot to win the division. That's unbelievable. Andy Dalton and Dennis Allen.
We were having a conversation last week.
Division winners.
Todd Bowles and Dennis Allen should both be gone after this year. They're still alive. Still alive
Holy
to win that division.
Smokes.
All right, final one. Let's go.
Giants and Lions recorded massive wins to bolster their playoff hopes on Sunday. New York went down to Washington, won 20-12 to basically cement their playoff bid. They are right now 8-5-1. Detroit moved to 7-7 on the season. They scored a touchdown with just over 2 minutes left, or just under 2 minutes left, I should say, and then benefited from bad clock management from Robert Saleh and a Greg Zuerlein missed field goal. They beat the Jets 20-17. Now, despite the loss on Sunday, the Commanders do hold right now the seventh and final wild card berth. They have a half-game lead over the Seahawks and the Lions for that final playoff spot. Onside or offside, Zach? Lions and Giants will both make the playoffs.
Well, I said going into that Giants-Commanders game, whoever was going to win that game clearly was going to make the playoffs, so I will go now with the Giants, even though I thought the Commanders were going to win last night, and I think the Lions are winning out. From 1-6 to then they would be, what, 10-7? Yeah, I like them winning out. The Detroit Lions. So I'll put the Lions and Giants in the playoffs on sides. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back with a closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Earlier on in the show, we had former NFL VP of officiating Dean Blandino join us, who now does a great job as an analyst for officiating calls on Fox. And I asked Dean Blandino about the crazy ending to that Commanders-Giants game, and this is what he said. The illegal formation with Terry McLaurin and the official after having to digest this for a little bit. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I just, you know, you always talk to the officials and you want to kind of give that player an opportunity. You show the player where the line of scrimmage is. You don't know what the formation calls for, if that receiver is supposed to be on or off the ball, but you know where the line of scrimmage is. Give the player that visual. If the player asks, we always talk about officials, and this is every level of football. You'll see receivers looking over at the line of scrimmage official to ask, hey, am I okay? And there's a visual confirmation. So I just thought that happened. I thought McLaurin looked over and he did adjust. And at that point, it looked like he and the official were on the same page. And then they throw the flag, which to me, you know, that's too technical. I think especially when you have that communication with the player, that's not a call that, you know, if I were the head of officiating, I would not want our officials to make that call. And I don't care if it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter. It's just being overly technical and not one that you want to make in that situation.
I know not everything could be perfect when it comes to officiating. I usually don't like to bitch about the officials. But with that being said, you call something like that that seems so insignificant. Mm-hmm. And then following very shortly afterwards, there was pass interference in the end zone. That doesn't get called. It just seemed as if the approach was very inconsistent in that spot.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario. I remember my time as head of officiating, and if I'm sitting there in our command center watching that game, it's the worst case scenario because you have a call that's made on a touchdown that appears to be very technical, and then one that appears to be just blatantly obvious, and we don't call it. And that's the frustrating part. And look, it's not the same official. Every official might have a different look. We do get the benefit of slow motion replay in different angles. And I think we sometimes lose sight of that, but that's a call that has to be made. That's pass interference. And like, whether it's first quarter, fourth quarter, doesn't matter. He's there early. He's restricting Samuel's ability to make a play on the ball. And you would hope in that situation there should be not just one official looking at that, but there should be multiple officials and getting a flag down. And it cost the Commanders an opportunity, you know, to score a touchdown. And, you know, they still had work to do. They got to get a touchdown, get the two-point try. But they didn't get that opportunity.
But that's a frustrating part. And I don't have a dog in the fight. We talk about the inconsistencies, but I feel as if that contact happened in the first quarter, it would have been called. But since it's in the final few moments of the game, then it doesn't get called.
Yeah, and it's a fair observation. And you sit there and you think, and we always try to get into the mentality and kind of just the thought process of the officials. And we'd always say, look, it doesn't, you can't change how you officiate the game because of the situation. If you're calling it in the first quarter, you've got to call it the same way in the fourth quarter. But there is, right, we're all human beings, and there's that thought of, I don't want to be the difference maker. I don't want to inject myself into this game at this critical moment. I want to let the players decide the game. But by not throwing a flag, you are injecting yourself into the game, because the players, one player is gaining an unfair advantage in that situation. And so you always work with your officials to try to say, okay, are you going to step up in that situation, or are you going to swallow the whistle and not make the call? Because that you can't be consistent if you're officiating based on the situation versus having a consistent standard throughout.
Really did enjoy that conversation that we had with Dean Blandino. It is the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All of you losers who say we got to put a roof on the new Bills Stadium, what we saw on Saturday night is the exact reason why there should never be a roof on a Bills new stadium. The fans screaming, let it snow. Just the theatrics of it as well. As the snow was intensifying in that fourth quarter, we told all night, it's going to snow. And then it just started to snow in the fourth. And then it was a blizzard by the end of the game. You had the Dolphins and the Bills going back and forth. It was awesome. I absolutely loved that game. And once again, it shows why you don't need a dome in Buffalo. So give that game a stock up. From 1-6 to 7-7, and still very much alive for the playoffs. Bite off those kneecaps. Give a stock up to Dan Campbell as they beat the JETS Jets. Rayshon Jenkins, 18 tackles in the game. 2 interceptions. The game-winning pick 6. Give him a stock up. Josh McDaniels, you almost did it again. You should have lost. Would have been an embarrassing moment for you. But then your whole team, they bail you out. And Hickey, I got to give him a stock up, because he would have been clowned by everyone today. And now nobody's talking about him. So Josh McDaniels, you, my friend, are a big winner from yesterday. Unfortunate news. It does not look like it's going to be a season-ending injury, or they're saying it's not a serious injury, but you are dealing with a right shoulder sprain for one Jalen Hurts. And it's just unfortunate timing right before the Cowboys game that a lot of people are excited for. His name was now the favorite to win the MVP. We'll see how that impacts that. But unfortunate when you start to not know when your quarterback's going to come back. So a stock down to the Jalen Hurts right shoulder injury. The Patriots, they are a stupid football team in 2022. I think I've said that about 9,000 times today. But Ramondre Stevenson lateraling the ball to Jacoby Myers, and then Jacoby Myers chucking that ball 15, 20 yards behind him. That was maybe the dumbest play I've ever seen. So give a stock down to the Patriots. The Indianapolis Colts. Yikes. Up 33-0. The largest blown lead in the history of the NFL. And the Minnesota Vikings not only win the NFC North, but they complete a crazy, crazy comeback. Give a stock down to the Indianapolis Colts. The Dallas Cowboys, or excuse me, check that. The drama Dallas choking Cowboys were up 27-10 against the Jaguars. And Trevor Lawrence has been sensational in the second half of the season. Leads that comeback. We talked about the great plays by Jenkins in that game. But Dallas, ay, 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 ay. After the dreadful, lethargic effort a week ago against the Texans, you get out to that good start, and then you blow the game. That's a miserable job by the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. Give the Cowboys a stock down. The Buccaneers are up 17-0. Imagine if you took Tampa plus 3.5. At 17-0, you're feeling like it's a lock. And then the Bengals, 34 unanswered. Give a stock down to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sail! And finally, the officiating in the NFL. The Keelan Cole, no reversal when everyone knows he was out of bounds. The ending of that Commanders-Giants game. You call the ticky-tack illegal formation, but then you don't call the defensive pass interference. You take two touchdowns off the board for the Minnesota Vikings with the same player. There was just bad call after bad call on Sunday. And it's a shame that those types of things did happen. I get it. Officiating is not going to be perfect. But when you're blowing the whistle early, when you're not calling obvious things and then calling things that are insignificant, the NFL in week 15, and there was a lot of bad football, but the officiating was just really a disaster. It was ugly. It was brutal. It was just rough to watch the officials. Hickey, what do you think the worst officiating moment was of the weekend?
Wow. It has to be the pass interference call that was not called in the fourth down Giants Commanders. Just because, like, if you wanted to say it's a technicality with Terry McLaurin, fine. Stupid, but fine. The Keenan Cole, we never had a definitive angle. You know, it's one of those where you got to go with the call in the field. I can't argue that too much, although, again, it looked out of bounds, but you don't have the right angle for it.
Man, it looked out of bounds to me.
I mean, Darnay Holmes
was mugged.
You could get arrested if that was on the street for assault with how much he was just pushing him, grabbing him, holding him back. Three different flags should have been thrown, and instead zero were thrown on the biggest play of the game. Inexcusable. Inexcusable.
And it's also crazy how in a just organization that is worth billions and billions of dollars, and I know it's on the TV crews, how they don't have the proper angles in the year of 2022. On the Cole play.
Why is it on the TV crews? Why shouldn't the NFL have cameras?
Broadcast. Yeah, I get
to,
it.
To, like, you know, if they help use the officials they use do broadcasts. Their job.
I would agree with you. And that's why I don't give the NFL pass for it, but that's a lame job by the NFL. Give them a stock down. Sail! Which one was the worst way to lose? Colts blowing a 33-0 lead. Jacoby Myers lateral. I went with Jacoby Myers lateral. That's 49%. Colts blowing a 33-0 lead is 51%. Good job out of you on the phones today. And for listening and tweeting, obviously, you can always get me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Big thanks to Dean Blandino and Ross Tucker for joining us. And we'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific on the Zach Gelb Show. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.